Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus.
You guys ready for the word this morning? Awesome. Welcome to you if you're a guest with us. We're so happy that you're with us at Thrive. We love new people. We love guests. We pray that you feel at home already. We pray that by the time you leave this place today, this will feel like your second home, that it will never stop being your second home, and that like all the rest of us, you'll find this place. And as you connect to this community, you'll find through Move Forward, which starts this week, you'll find that you'll connect into smaller communities and you'll find people there that will love you, have your back, want the best for you, pray for you. Like everybody else in our church who's in a life group, in a serving team, you just find your people and then this becomes your place and you just continue to grow and move towards Jesus. Come, let's pray together as we get into the word. Father, we ask that your word would speak to us today. We pray that it would shape us. We pray that it would shape the architecture of our thoughts and our hearts. And we pray today that as we dive into this new series this week, Lord, that you would anchor us for 2022 in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. We are kicking off a brand new series today, everybody. It's called Anchored, and the thought behind it is in our world, in our fast-paced world, and as we've learned over the last couple of years, life in our world changes so much, and it changes so quickly. Not only is the pace of our world so fast, you'll notice I'm even talking quickly so that you'll get a handle on what I'm trying to say. Not only is the pace of our world so fast, but the pace of change in our world is so enormously quick. And so we thought today, as we kick off a four-week series, it'll take us into February, it's called Anchored. What are the four things that anchor us like nothing else on earth? So that no matter what this year brings for you, whether it's good stuff or challenging stuff, what will anchor you? What is it above all else that actually anchors our lives? We're going to look at four things over the next 4 weeks. I want to encourage you to plug in. I want to encourage you to be here for every week so that you don't miss one. I want to encourage you to invite family and friends so that they too can get the benefit of it. It's going to be a fabulous four-week series. I've got such a weight of expectation in my heart for what God's going to do in our lives. As the first thing we do is we grab hold of these and we drop anchored. Not so that we can stay static, as you'll see later, but so that we can move at the pace required in our world. So that when storms come, when winds blow, when currents hit us, we can actually stay anchored in our lives. And so that's what it's about. So let's get into it. Let me give you a definition firstly of an anchor so that we all know what we're talking about. Let me say this. An anchor is a device. It's normally made of metal and it's used to secure vessels to the bed of a body of water to prevent the craft from drifting due to wind or current. Those of you who are fisher people will know just how important an anchor is. Now, anchors were originally invented in Greece. Did you know that? And the most primitive version of an anchor was they would actually fill a bucket up with stones and with rocks. They would cover it with some rudimentary kind of covering and then drop that over the side of the ship. And of course, anchors have evolved since then. But the thing about an anchor is what makes it effective is, number one, if it's weighty, and number two, if it's sharp and able to lodge into the bedrock of the bed or the riverbed or the seabed. It's got to be weighty and it's got to be sharp in order for it to lodge. You'll see on the screen there's a picture of an anchor lodged into a seabed. It's got to be weighty and it's got to be sharp. I want to say to us today that the next 4 weeks, we're going to talk about weighty things and we're going to talk about how to have a sharpness to the things that we do in our lives, and that each of the four things that we're going to talk about over the next few weeks are going to be weighty and they're going to be sharp. And if you build them into your life, you'll be able to drop anchor at the right time. That anchor will find its way into the bedrock or into the seabed of your life. It'll literally lodge in the foundation of your life and nothing will be able to move you. That's what we need in our world today, isn't it? Now, there's an account, a story in Scripture of the Apostle Paul. He was trying to sail to Rome, and you can go and read about the story. It's found in Acts chapter 27. It's a story in the Scripture which mentions more anchors than any other. I want to give you a quick highlights reel of this. Acts 27, verse 13, Paul is sailing to Rome, but it all goes wrong. and the ship begins to encounter heavy storms. And it tells us in verse 13 that a light wind began blowing from the south. This was the start of the storm. And the sailors thought they could make it, so they pulled up anchor. Notice, I want you to notice today in this verse, they pulled up the anchor, they lifted the anchor, and so they sailed close to the shore. Sometimes we get close to danger when we lift our anchors. Verse 17 goes on. Then the sailors, now the storm is in full force, right? They were sailing close to the island, but this light breeze developed into a full-on storm. So the sailors bound ropes around the hull of the ship to strengthen it, and they were afraid of being driven across the sandbars of Syrtis across the African coast. So they lowered the sea anchor to slow the ship. Best thing you can do in a storm is to lower anchor. Verses 28 to 29, let's move on. So they dropped a weighted line. They found that the water was 120 feet deep. A little later, they measured it again and found now it was only 90 feet deep, so they knew they were getting shallower. At this rate, they were afraid they would soon be driven against the rocks close to the shore. So they threw out four anchors from the back of the ship and prayed for daylight. They got close to the shore. They knew what they wanted to do. They dropped anchor. Verses 39 to 41, when the morning dawned, they didn't recognize the coastline, but they saw a bay with a beach and wondered if they could get to shore by running the ship aground. So they cut off the anchors and left them in the sea. And the end of the story is that the fact that they now cut anchors meant that the ship drifted and hit rocks, broke up, everybody swam for shore, and not one person was lost. The point that I want to make from this story is that the thing that saved them was that the anchor slowed them down. An anchor might keep you in a storm longer by slowing you, but it saves you. And so often as people, we want to get out of the storm as quickly as possible, but actually the very thing that slows us and keeps us in the storm, like we saw here, the only thing that actually saved them at the end of the day was that they'd been in that storm long enough, they'd had been slow for long enough, and eventually they could cut the anchor, they were close enough to the shore. Don't be too quick to want to get out of the storm, because it could be that the storm is providing, or there's an anchor in that storm that's helping you get through it. Maybe I could say this, I made a little rhyme for us. Anytime they lifted, they ended up drifting. Anytime they lifted, they drifted. Anytime they sunk, they were more secure. When it came to the anchor, anytime they lifted, they drifted. Anytime they sunk, they were more secure. Here's the thing about an anchor, church, that I want you to grab hold of today. If you wouldn't mind putting the visual of the anchor in the seabed up again. I want you to notice that the reason why that anchor is lodging in the seabed and the reason why it holds is because if you go in the same direction, in other words, if the pull is in the same direction, it's gonna lodge. The only thing that will dislodge that anchor is if the ship had to do a full 180 and come from the other side and a pressure had to be applied in the opposite direction. That would dislodge it. Can you see the angle of the anchor? If it lodges in the bed, as long as you're going in the same direction, that will hold. The only way you can dislodge it is if you come around from the other side and a pressure gets applied, and that will then pull it out. Are you with me? As long as you and I go in the same direction, as long as you and I go in the right direction with regards to the forces and the currents in our lives, as long as you and I engage in currents in our lives that embed anchors in our lives, you and I will do well this year. It's if we go the opposite way around. It's if we take a converse approach. It's if we not only lift anchor, but if we allow currents in our lives, if we pursue currents and tides in our lives and forces in our lives, if we allow forces in our lives that work contrary to anchors in our lives. Is that making sense to you? So what keeps us anchored? That's what we're going to explore in the series for the next 4 weeks. This week, though, we're going to teach for a few minutes on the thing that I think will keep us anchored above everything else in our lives. The thing that will anchor us above everything else in our lives. And it's prayer. Jesus dropped anchor to pray all the time in his life. We see it in his life all the time. Jesus had an ongoing rhythm and pattern of dropping anchor to pray. Read with me for a few minutes, Luke chapter 11. It says, one day Jesus was in a certain place praying. As he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. Can I suggest to you that that might well be some of the most important five words in all of Scripture? Lord, teach us to pray. That might be some of the most important five words you could hear for your life this year. Lord, teach us to pray. Now, I want you to notice, church, there was a reason why the disciples asked that question. They had just witnessed Jesus praying, and such must have been the power, such must have been the intensity, such must have been the magnetic feel to the way Jesus was praying, was that the first thing they said is, Lord, teach us. Like, in other words, what they're going is, we want to pray like you. We want what you've got. That power, that weightiness, that strength, that open heaven that we see over you when you pray. I mean, he might have been kneeling down, or perhaps he was just turned away from them. But there was something, church, there was something about the way Jesus was praying that was magnetic to them. And they thought to themselves, we must have that. And so they go, Lord, teach us to pray. Church, there's nothing more important that will anchor you and me this year than the cry that we have in our hearts to teach us, Lord, to pray. And then Jesus said, this then is how you should pray. Father, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. Give us each day the food we need. And he goes on. And from verse 5 onwards, if you just drop down to verse 5, it says, then teaching them more about prayer, he used the story about a guy going to his friend's house and how persistent this person was. And Jesus ends that passage with going, ask and you'll receive, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be opened to you. It's this magnificent passage on prayer. My job is not to give you all the food here. This is not a restaurant. We need to be supermarkets. Go and feed yourself at home from Luke 11. I've given you the passage. Now go and dive into it yourself this week. That passage, Luke 11, about how Jesus teaches them to pray. Okay, you with me? What I do want to do today is I want to suggest to you, give you and I five ways to pray today. Five anchoring prayers. Five prayers that'll keep us anchored. Here are five ways for you to pray, taken directly from Scripture. If you got your phones with you, if you've got a notepad with you or something to take notes, I hope that you'll take notes. You'll be able to get back to it later on in the week. You'll get much more out of the message if you take notes. You'll get much more out of it if you're an active participant in it. And so grab a photo of each one so that you can go through into it in the week. Number one, the first type of prayer or the first way to pray is what I want to call a creating prayer. A creating prayer. This is actually a prayer where we create blessing. By that, I want to be careful. It's not that we can necessarily create a blessing ourselves, but what we can do is pray to the God in heaven who does bless, and we know that heaven gets shifted, heaven gets influenced. You and I can have a bearing on what heaven does. And so you and I can create blessing in our lives, a blessing in our friends' lives, in our family's lives, in our church's life, in our life groups' lives, in our small groups, and in our serving team's lives. You and I can create a blessing. You and I can actually influence heaven to bless by praying a creating prayer. The best one that I thought of in Scripture is found in the Old Testament book of 1 Chronicles. It's hidden away I think I could safely say it's pretty boring text. It's genealogy after genealogy. It's person after person after person. But right hidden away in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, there's two verses about a man called Jabez, and he prays this prayer. It says, there was a man named Jabez who was more honorable than any of his brothers. His mother named him Jabez because his birth had been so painful. Imagine being named Pain. Who of you here had your mom and dad ever say to you, you're a pain? Yes, I see all of you with PTSD. Imagine being called pain. So this guy's life, here's the point, guys. Here's the point. This guy's life doesn't start off well. He starts off effectively being cursed. I want you to notice that. He starts off with a curse on his life, and he decides to take life by the bull by the horns. If it wasn't for online, I would have said what I really wanted to say. But you know, when this then gets recorded, you know, in 15 years' time, they can say, yeah, I checked, you said this dodgy thing and blah. He decides to take life by the scruff of the neck. And he decides that here's the thing, this man, there's a word for somebody into your spirit. His life will not be cursed. His life will be blessed. But here's the thing. He doesn't decide to engage in seven steps to a better life. He doesn't pursue a self-help mentality. He prays. Because there's power in our prayer to shift things on earth. So what does he do? He prays. He says, oh, that you would bless me, number one. Expand my territory, number two. Be with me in all that I do, number three. And keep me from trouble and pain, number four. Jabez literally created a blessed life because he prayed a blessing that created a prayer that created blessing. Can I encourage you today? When was the last time you decided to pray something that would pray blessing over your life and into your life? But not only your life, your family's life, your children, your husband, your wife, your work situation, your boss, your life group community, your serving community. Let's grab a hold of the first way to pray today, creating prayer. It's about blessing. Second way to pray is communion or communing prayer. That's about intimacy. The prayer there is Psalm 139. Oh Lord, you've examined my heart and you know everything about me. You know when I sit down or when I stand up. You know my thoughts when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. This is a prayer of the intimacy of God who knows everything about every stitch and fabric of our life. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and you follow me. You place your hand of blessing upon my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. Can I suggest to you that you pull out Psalm 139 when you want to get intimate with God? And you take each of those lines and you pray them back to Him. You chew on them. You mull on them. You take each line and you begin to write it. Pray it back to God. Begin to see what other ideas come to you from that line. Expand upon it. God, you see me when I travel and when I'm at home. Every aspect of every line, there'll be something that the Spirit of God speaks to you about for your life that you begin to pray and give God the words for that. Communing prayer. First way to pray that I want to offer us today, creating prayer. That's about creating blessing, influencing heaven to bless. God wants to see us blessed. Second is communing prayer. Why? Because God wants our hearts. He wants us to come to Him. Communing prayer, Psalm 139. Third way to pray is confessing prayer. Confessing prayer is about purity. Psalm 51, verse 1 to 2. This is David's, arguably, some would say this is his most famous psalm, actually more than Psalm 23 even. Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love. Because of your great compassion, blot out the stain of my sins. It's a confessing prayer. Confession is a lost practice in our modern church. Everybody wants to be blessed, not too many people want to confess. And actually, there's two ways in Scripture that Scripture offers us to confess. The one is a confession prayer to God, but actually the one that I haven't brought out here is the confession one to another. That James talks about in his book in the New Testament. It says, confess your sins one to another so that you may be healed. Can I encourage you this year? I've got a person in my life, we started in about August last year. I've got a guy, a friend of mine. We confess our sins to each other. We send it by voice note on Monday mornings after the sins of the weekend. I start off my voice note, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. He writes back, who's your father? Do you know how much courage that takes? Do you know how much vulnerability that takes? Can I tell you how much healing is in it? Do you know how hard it is to think back over my dodgy week that's just been? Do you know how healthy it is? Confessing sin, that's about purity. Find someone this year that you can talk to. Send them a voice note. Get together for a cup of coffee. Maybe you want to make it once a month. I do weekly because mine mount up really quickly. But for people like you, I want to suggest this bank could do 6 monthly. You guys are looking so awesome today. You guys should do every 3 days. Fourth type of prayer is communicating prayer, and that's about help. Psalm 4, verse 1. Answer me when I call to you, O God who declares me innocent. Free me from my troubles. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. It's a communicating prayer for help. Sometimes we leave our requests for help on the shelf because we don't have the words. We don't know what we should say to God. That's why the Psalms are so magnificent. That's why the Psalms are so incredible, because, you know, the Psalms were Israel's prayer book. They were basically the collection of prayers put together for Israel to pray to God. And somehow we've lost some of that. But I want to encourage you, church, the beginning of 2022, anytime you're struggling with anything, you can go to the psalm and find a word, find a phrase, find an expression, find a way to communicate your heart to God through it. I love this one because he goes, free me from my troubles. I love it. It's so direct. It's so honest. It's so raw. It's so vulnerable. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. I want to suggest to you today that there will always be words in the psalms for whatever you're going through, because it covers the full range of human experience. You all still with me? Is this helping anybody today? Fifth prayer is comforting prayer, and that's for comfort. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. Sometimes that's Psalm 34. Sometimes when we need comfort, what we can do is we can take the words of the psalmist and simply speak them back to God. Lord, I know that you are close to the brokenhearted. Lord, I know that you rescue those whose spirits are crushed. Rescue me. Be close to me. Comfort me. Help me. Be near to me. I need to feel your presence. God, I know, I cannot keep you as a theological construct. I can't keep you as a theoretical reality in my life. I need you to be a practical, experiential God right now for me. Creating prayer, that's about blessing. Communing prayer, that's about intimacy. Confessing prayer, that's about purity. Communicating prayer, that's about help. Comforting prayer, that's about comfort. There's an old Scots gentleman who was a pastor and theologian and author. He lived about 100 years ago. His name was Dr. Alexander White. He said this about prayer. I want to offer you this thought, and I pray that it will lodge in your spirit. He said, the only way for a man and a woman, Aideen, don't play just yet, see, after when I mention Eugene Peterson. Okay. He says, the only way for a man and a woman, the only way for a man and a woman to really, really become a person, to become people who have a habit of praying, is if they think magnificently. I love that word. It's like old English language, isn't it? Think magnificently. To think magnificently of three things. Firstly, to think magnificently of who you and I are. The scripture tells us in 1 Peter that you and I are a royal priesthood. You and I are adopted sons and daughters of God. You and I are members of God's household. But he says you are royal priests, a holy nation. That means that every single one of us, listen, no matter where you've been in your past, no matter how, what you've done or what you haven't done, the scripture says that the moment you and I make a decision to follow Christ, our identity changes whether you believe it or not, whether you feel it or not. And you and I are declared as royal priests, a holy nation, right? That means that you and I can come into the presence of God. And he says to people, he says, church, think magnificently about who you are. You are not simply Amy Jane. You are not simply Michaela. You're not simply Terrence. You are Terrence, a royal priest in God's household. And so think magnificently of your office. Think magnificently of who God has made you to be. Think magnificently of what he said you can be and what he said you can do. You can come into the Holy of Holies. Think magnificently of who you are. Secondly, think magnificently of who God is. The one who literally, just try and imagine this with me for a moment, the one who breathed stars into life by the words of his mouth. Yes, the world's spending a lot of time trying to get to Mars. Think with me for a moment that God simply breathed and Mars existed. Think magnificently of God. That same star-breathing God, somehow the magnificent mystery is that he waits to hear from you and me. He's not anxious, he's not rushed, he's not too busy, he's not preoccupied, nor is he asleep. He's literally waiting for you and me to think magnificently enough about ourselves to come to him and pray. Think magnificently of who we are. Think magnificently of who God is. Think magnificent thoughts about him. And lastly, think magnificently about prayer. What a wonder. What an extraordinary miracle that we can simply verbalize a thought, an emotion, and it finds the ears of God. How amazing is that? Why do we do life without praying? A story is told of Eugene Peterson, author, the guy who messaged the paraphrase of the Message Bible. The story is told of his 8-year-old son who walks down the passage, opens the door of his dad's study every morning at about 5 o'clock, and he finds his dad kneeling down in his office with a wooden cross on the wall ahead of him and a prayer shawl over his shoulders. The first day he saw that sight, he wondered if he was intruding, and so he closed the door very quickly. But the next day he couldn't help himself. He wanted to see his dad praying again. And so he walked down the passage, opened the door, found his dad kneeling with the prayer shawl around him, praying to his God, thinking magnificently of who he was, of who his God was, and of what prayer was. And pretty soon his son Eric tells a story that this became his daily tradition. Such was the beauty and the power of the picture of his dad praying. And I think that's what the disciples saw in Jesus when they watched him pray. And they said, Lord, teach us to pray. It is the very greatest thing a human being can do. There is nothing more magnificent that you and I can do this year. Can I say this to us? I know we've all got to-do lists off the charts, right? We've got kids to feed and bills to pay and clients to keep happy and all of that stuff. All of that stuff. There is nothing more important for you to do this year. Nothing that'll keep you anchored more than to pray. One last time, here they are, if you're taking notes. Creating prayer, that's about blessing. Communing prayer, that's about intimacy. Confessing prayer, that's about purity. Communicating prayer, that's about help. Comforting prayer, that's about comfort. Soren Kierkegaard, Danish theologian, said this: prayer doesn't change God, but it changes him who prays. William Cowper said, Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. If you want to make the devil tremble, just get on your knees and pray. Last thought for today. Amazing lady called Corrie ten Boom. She said simply this: is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? Let it be a steering wheel this year. I would like to have the great privilege of praying a creating blessing prayer over each one of you today. Would you bow your heads? As your pastor, I want to pray a blessing over you and your families. Father, I pray for every person in this building and online. Not only them, my Lord, but every one of their family and friends. I pray, Father, that you would bless them indeed. That means richly, Lord. I pray that you would bless them spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, financially, maritally, relationally. Father, I pray that they would experience blessing in their health, blessing in their finance, blessing in their relationships, blessing in their emotional and mental health. I pray that they would experience the blessing of God upon their children. I pray that you would let them be blessed mentally with the mind of Christ. Give them creativity, give them sharpness of thought, give them insight, and give them wisdom. The second thing that Jabez prayed is that you would enlarge his territory, and you did that. Father, I pray for enlarged territory. I pray for marriages to blossom, for marriages to expand. I pray for enlarged relationships in families, for deeper relationships, that there would be a depth and a richness and a beauty to relationships. I pray for businesses to expand, finances to expand, thinking to expand. Lord, when you expand our territory, expand our thinking, expand our imagination, give us big thoughts, give us fresh vision, give us God ideas for our businesses, for our departments, for our schools, for the things that we look after. Father, that your hand would be with us. Lord, that you would go ahead of us, that you would part waters for us, that you would make straight paths for us. Lord, let the world see your hand upon us. Let it be unmistakable that your hand is with us. All throughout the book of Genesis, we see how you were in covenant with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Everything that they did was your hand was on it. It's just like you just put your touch on it and it blessed it. I pray that you'd put your touch on our families, our businesses, on our life groups, on our serving teams, on our church, on our friendships, on our marriages. Lord, let your touch be upon us. Father, and that you would keep us from harm. Protect us. Protect us physically, protect us emotionally. Protect us. Protect us as we travel in our vehicles, protect our homes. May no evil come near us. May your hand of protection be over us all. May your angels of protection encamp around us all. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. It's going to be an amazing year, everybody. Let's anchor ourselves in prayer.
We hope you have been blessed and helped by this message. For more information about our church, visit our website at www.thrivechurch.co.za.